It's always good to have some fellowship. Amen. Feel free, you know, although it's a conference, but it'll be very good if in every conference all the saints will learn to share something brief, to the point, right, out of your heart, to experience, to share your experience for the edification of the saints. One question asked by a sister to me this morning was that, what is the difference between sharings or giving testimonies or offerings to the Father? I have shared that when I was in Bangkok and in the Philippines and in Singapore, because it's so much my heart. You know, first of all, I want to let you know that the word offering is very biblical. I didn't invent the word offering to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Who said that? Huh? Which Peter? Peter from Vancouver? Or which Peter? You're sure it's the Apostle Peter? He said it, right? You think he might be wrong? Will he be wrong? No? You're sure he is okay, right? He won't be talking nonsense or just some kind of a strange knowledge. No? What did he say? To offer up spiritual sacrifices, right? And in the Old Testament age, in Leviticus, if anyone want to bring a what? An offering. Why? Just if anybody wants to bring a cow, isn't that good enough? Or if anybody wants to bring a lamb, is that not good enough? What did Leviticus say again? If anybody wants to bring a burnt offering, to whom? To God. To God. Now, who said this? Who wrote that Leviticus?
Moses.
Which Moses? This one? Did you write Leviticus? So, which Moses is that? Which Moses wrote that? You know, the Moses who gave the law. Sorry, Tiff, it's not your Moses. And where did Moses get that Leviticus? Actually, it is not Moses who said that. It is God who said that. Because it was the Lord who told Moses. Right? It is written. I'm so happy it is written. And if you think it is not edifying, hey, it didn't come from me. It came from God. So God must have something said that is not edifying for you. Sorry, God. What you said is not edifying. What do you think? Do you dare to say that Leviticus, all these offerings that God has given to us and asked us to do, does not edify anybody? Who dare to say that? Raise your finger. No. Now, the word offering in the Bible is a word, firstly, used by God to offer something to Him. You don't offer to man, you offer to God. The word offering is exclusively to God, just like the word worship. Who do you worship? Men? You only worship men? How about idols? What about demons? Also no, 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 and no. So who do you worship? Why not use the word worship for something else? Why only for God? Why use the word worship? Just so we love God. Is that good enough? Huh? Serve God. So, you don't need to use the word worship. Why? Who wrote it? God. Oh, my goodness. So what should we do? Worship or not worship? Really? Suppose I don't want to worship. What about you?
That's your problem.
That's my problem. That means you're not one with me.
That's not the problem.
You have to wait until I want to worship. Then you can worship.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Now, do you all want to worship God?
Amen.
No, 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 no. You have to wait for me. I don't want to worship. I am not very clear yet about the worship, so don't worship until I'm clear. Shh, Sarah, don't you worship. Because if you do and I don't, then you will be separated from your grandpa. Then you're no longer one with your grandpa. You, don't you want to be one with me? Wow. What a wonderful revelation from a young sister. I'm impressed. Really, I'm truly impressed. I'm truly impressed. To worship God. Some may not want to. So what are you going to do? Will you do it?
You have to.
Yeah, but by doing so, you will not be one with me. What am I going to do? What are you going to do? You should tell me, you should say our oneness is not that kind of a strange oneness. Our oneness is with the triune God. Because your strange concept of oneness is not one with God. Sarah is right. If Grandpa is not one with God, that is not your problem. That is my problem. Right, Emmanuel? Yes. So to offer up sacrifices, who do you offer up to? To the Father. Now, in the church life, we use the word sharing. Sharing. But actually, the Bible did not use the word share. What do you want to share about? No, the Bible didn't use the word share. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 used the word what? You can all share. You can all prophesy. You can all prophesy. No, you prophesy to God. He doesn't need that. Oh, who needs that? You do, and I do. So when you prophesy, who are you prophesying to?
You.
To me. Is it so difficult to understand that? Why mixed it up? I prophesy to God and offer to you. How about that? Are you sure?
Don't mix it up.
But it's just terminology. It doesn't mean anything.
Is it written?
You should say, John, so you better learn the heavenly language. That's the divine vocabulary. I'm sorry, brother. I don't know of any other vocabulary. Am I right? Doesn't matter if I'm right. You should say the Bible is right. Right. And the Lord told his disciples, you are my witnesses. Right? What does a witness do? If you are called to the judge, by the judge, to the court, as a witness, what do you do there?
Testify.
So, as a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are testifying to whom?
To the unbelievers.
To the unbelievers. Testifying what?
That Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world.
Why not testify to God about that?
God knows that.
God knows that already. Why testify to God that Jesus Christ is his Son? Sorry, folks. I'm a little bit backward, so I don't understand that well. I'm glad you're helping me. What else can I say, Mo? If I'm wrong, please correct me. Or if God is wrong, please correct him. Oh, see, would you like to correct God? He's laughing. Okay. Don't correct God. Correct Peter. How about correcting Moses? How about change the Bible? Wow. You cannot do that, brother. You know, I'm saying out of the depth of my heart to everybody, especially those who are listening to the live streams. Right. It is not so difficult to understand, is it? No, it is not. Right. And so I really hope that the Lord will make it clear to us. We need really grace from the Lord to humble ourselves to receive his word. That's all there is to it. It is not that hard. No, it is really not that hard. So may the Lord open our eyes to see this. Right. I hope that we will all see this. Now, I hope that will answer some of our questions. Yeah. And hey, I didn't answer the questions. You did, right? Sarah did. All of you did, right? Yeah. Okay, so don't blame me. Don't blame me. I have a lot of witnesses here that it did not come from me. Praise the Lord. And now this seven feast is not invented by Moses. It is commanded by God. It is commanded by God. Three times a year, you people, all the male, should come to Jerusalem to worship. How many tribes are there? 12. Suppose 6 tribes don't want to come. And you belong to one of the tribe who wants to come. Let's say the tribe of Ephraim wants to come. But Manasseh didn't want to come. Dan didn't want to come. And so what are you going to do? You want to go or not to go to Jerusalem to hold the feast? You cannot go until all the 12 tribes want to go. Otherwise, Israel will be divided. My 6 tribes go and the other 6 tribes stay home. Mo, what do you think? But you have to wait until every tribe agrees to go. Where is that written? Where is it written? I don't know. I have to write another chapter. I have to write additional verses. Maybe I'll tell God to do it. You think God will change? What about 11 tribe ones, or 10 tribes want to go, and one tribe didn't want to go?
10 tribes is better than 6.
You see, do not follow man's concept. You follow God. Amen. You must follow God. I've been telling all the saints in all these years, today is the age for us to follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Suppose we are here in the church in Fountain Valley and half of the saints want to follow the Lamb. This section wants to follow the Lamb. Oh, good section. But this section says, this is not right. We are not ready yet. I thought you were going to run to the toilet. You got the answer. You got the answer. I appreciate that. Are you going to be one with me or are you going to be one with God? People have a strange concept of oneness. Even if we're wrong, we'll still be one. Have we not learned from before that is not a kind of oneness? I want to be one with the living God. Even if you kill me, I'll be one with the living God. Even if you crucify the Lord Jesus, He's going to be one with the Father. This is the basis of our oneness. Do not use Joshua and Caleb. Right? It sounds very good. But what happened in the wilderness at the end? They all died in the wilderness. So Joshua waited for them for how many years? Did they enter, all of them?
No.
But Joshua waited. Joshua waited in vain. Why? Because they disobeyed God. And God was not well pleasing with them. Do you want to wait 40 years before you start to offer up offerings to God? Sarah, wait for your grandpa, okay? No, you don't. You do what God wants you to do. I cannot imagine that offering offerings to God to worship Him will cause division. Can you imagine? I cannot imagine that. Right? So, dear saints, we have to learn to be those who obey God. That is why we have an offering called what? What? Oh, come on. Louder. Only two or three people know about that. Now, what kind of offering again?
Burnt offering.
That sounds better. What is the burnt offering all about? That we will do the Father's will. Now, when the Lord Jesus was on this earth, how many people wanted to do the Father's will? Tell me. Who is He? Jesus. He's by Himself. Now, should He do it or should He not do it? All of God's people didn't want to do it. So what is the Lord going to do? Go back to heaven and wait until everybody is willing. Yes or no?
No.
No? Then you're not one with God's people. Yep, this is very clear in the Word of God. You think everybody will agree to do God's will? I don't think so. So how long are you going to wait? Are you going to wait until everybody is willing to offer offerings to the Father? Then we'll do it. In the meanwhile, the Father has to sit there and wait. How long does the Father have to wait? He's been waiting for 2,000 years. Now, how much longer do you want Him to wait? You tell me, brother. Who is more important? You, who don't want to do it, or the Father who is seeking for such to worship Him? You tell me, who is more important? I'm just helping you all to really realize that no, we are not here just doing anything. We are here to do the Father's will. That's all there is to it. Right? If I don't want to do it, what are you going to do? You will do it. That's good enough. Praise the Lord. Right. That is why the burnt offering is so precious and so important. Right? But if you don't want to bring one, and I want to bring one, does it pose a problem for you?
I'm missing out.
No, I'm not asking whether you're missing out or not. I'm just asking you, is that a problem to you if I bring an offering to the Father and you don't? Should it be a problem? How can it be a problem? No. How about prayer? You want to pray, I don't pray. What are we going to do? No problem? No, it's a problem. Now we are divided. One wants to pray. I don't want to pray. No. We are one body. Oh, we are one body. Actually, we are nobody. Suppose he wants to pray. I don't want to pray. So what are we going to do? No more praying. You pray for me. Yeah, you better pray for me. It's not reasonable. Oh, well, you want to pray. I don't want to pray. What should we do? Pray or not pray?
I'll still pray.
Huh?
I'll still pray.
But you have to wait until I really want to pray. Then you pray.
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. We have been Christians for so many years, in the church life for so many years. Even this simple matters, we cannot see clearly. Then I must feel very sorry. Then I should say we have failed. Right. Praise the Lord. Now let me come back to the second feast. The feast of the unleavened bread. Right. We were talking about the leaven. I am not done yet with the leaven. Because we have so much leaven in us that cause so much problems for our going on. Really, dear saints. Right. I like to get rid of the leaven that is in me. And I hope that we take the advice of the Lord and also of Brother Paul writing to the church in Corinth, right? Because there was something that was not right. So Paul says, no, it's all right. You have an excellent reputation because you tolerated the brother who sinned. I really commended your love for all the saints there, especially the weaker ones. Did Paul write like that? That's the leaven. Paul says, purge out all the old leaven. One brother asked me this morning, what is the old leaven? Does it mean there's a new leaven? No, the old leaven does not mean there was the old and there's a new. But old, anything of the old creation is the old man, the old creation, our old self. That's why all the leaven belongs to the old creation. That's why it's called the old leaven. Not that old leaven, now we're going to have new leaven. No. All the leaven is of the old. Now, the church is a new lump, which is unleavened. Understand the Bible by the Bible. Right? The church is a new man, a new creation, a new lump which is unleavened. This is really wonderful. Should be. But in order to be unleavened, you have to purge out all the leaven. And this morning we have seen the worst type of leaven is the teachings, the doctrines of religion, of the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and even the Herodians, right? So, then we have seen the leaven of hypocrisy. right? Even more difficult sometimes to see, right? Because hypocrisy is, you're covering it up with something else, right? That's why the leaven of the Pharisee is not only their doctrine, but their hypocrisy, because they're covering it up. It looks very nice, and it's very misleading. You are not straightforward, saying, we are not for it. But you cover it up with, oh, you should take care of this, and you should take care of that, and we this, and that, and that, and that. So you cover it up. That is the principle of this word hypocrisy. You, at the end, you don't really know what it is. That's 11. So look, the verse that we read, where's the 11 now? Yeah. Page 2, is hidden in page 2. Luke chapter 12, the 11 of hypocrisy. Then, the 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, you have what? The hypocrisy of malice and wickedness. The 11. The 11. Malice and wickedness. My, now, this is our fallen nature now, the flesh. This includes sin in it. Right. Malice and wickedness. It's not very good. All of these 11 mentioned in the Bible, right, that is hidden in our fallen humanity. Right. Then you will be twisting, you will be accusing, you will be slandering. Right. Being not very truthful. That is why Paul used what word? Let us turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 5. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know, verse 6, that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Be careful, because you're going to influence the whole church, the whole lump. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. I love this word. Keep the feast. You mean to say Paul is wrong? No more feast? Is Paul right or wrong? Let us keep the feast, praise the Lord. Which feast? The feast of unleavened bread. Not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Really, this is really a wonderful word concerning the keeping of the feasts. If you think Leviticus is not edifying, well, that's fine. That's your opinion. But that is not the opinion of Paul. He says, let us keep the feast. So, I'll see who are you going to listen to. If I say the feast, no more. We don't need to keep the feasts anymore. We are in the New Testament today. Don't talk about it. It's not going to help anybody. What are you going to tell me? Sorry?
You also need to upgrade yourself because the Old and the New Testament are the scriptures.
Right. But more straightforward, you should say, it is written. Let us keep the feast. But you, John, so you tells us, you told us not to keep the feast. What are you going to do? Keep or not to keep? Well, but if you keep it, you offend me. So, better not do it, right? No. I suppose your wife doesn't like to keep the feast. But let's hope that you're all one. Right? Let us keep the feast. I really love this word. It is music to my ear. Let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Praise the Lord. Right? So, you have another category of leaven here. All the sinfulness. So you have religious leaven. You have the leaven of hypocrisy. Then you have the leaven of sin. Right. Because that brother really committed a sin that is so terrible. Right. Right. But praise God, he repented. Right. It is wonderful to repent. I like to repent. If I'm wrong, I like to repent. It's always good to repent. Right. So, leaven of malice and wickedness. Okay, let us continue. And then the leaven of dead religious practices, such as in Galatians 5, 1 to 9, or Colossians 2, 18 to 23, all the Jewish practices of keeping the Sabbath and circumcision and new moon. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't keep the feast anymore, but we are keeping the true, real feast with Christ as the reality. Even today, we keep the Sabbath, but our Sabbath is Christ. Christ is our Sabbath rest, right? So, if we are just practicing something without life or dead, then it becomes a leaven there. So, Paul used again in Galatians chapter 5, right? He said the same thing as to the church in Corinth, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Right? Because the Jewish Christians were trying to infiltrate the Gentile churches with a lot of Jewish practices. Right? So, these are dead religious practices that has no value. And if the church life, we are just doing something routine, like giving a message without life. You know, you can give a very nice message, but no life. Right. But let me tell you, you cannot offer a burnt offering without the reality. Don't make up stories. you must really prepare the offerings with Christ. Right? So if you bring a real offerings, it is not dead, it is always living. Unless you bring a fake one. But hey, who dares to do that? Will you bring a fake offering? A knockoff? Maybe from China or Vietnam. All right. So you have to really see, no. Offering, all the offerings must be real. Right. Right. It must be your daily experience with Christ. Now, who dares to bring something that is not real? A make-up story and offering up to the Father. Would you dare to do that? I wouldn't. I would rather bring nothing than bring a knockoff. Right? Right. So, here, you can really see there are so many different kinds of leaven. And Paul made a list. Right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and chapter 6. And then in Galatians chapter 5, Paul made a list of the works of the flesh. These are all leaven. These are all leaven. Right? So, what are we going to do? Because we all have this leaven in us. We need to keep the feast of unleavened bread. On one hand, positively, to eat the bread from heaven. Because if you don't eat the bread from heaven, you will have no strength and ability to get rid of the leaven that is in you. The only way you can get rid of the leaven is to eat Christ. Not doctrines, not teachings can help you get rid of the leaven. Sorry. You can know all the Bible, but you cannot get rid of the leaven. We are not talking about the doctrines of the feast. We are talking about keeping the feast. If you don't keep them, then the knowledge is worthless. Right? Then everything is worthless in the Bible, not only Leviticus. If you don't keep and do according to the word, not only Leviticus and the offerings will be worthless, this whole book will be worthless. Right or wrong? Right. Everything will be worthless. Whatever you say, whatever I say will be worthless if I don't practice it. Right. Everything is worthless. So, whether it is good for you or not, depends on what? Depends on the book. Is Proverbs worthless? Not edifying. Jeremiah, not edifying. Gospel of Luke, not quite edifying. Galatians doesn't apply to us. Hebrews, no more offerings. At the end, you might as well throw away the Bible. So, dear saints, right, we all need to learn. No, we are not talking about the teachings and knowledge of the feasts. We are talking about the practice, the keeping of the feast. We are talking about purging away my own leaven. I like to do it. The Lord can be my witness. Every time I come to this table, eating the bread, realizing this is an unleavened bread, I told the Lord, Lord, help me to purge out anything that is not of you out of my heart. I don't want it in my heart. I never told the Lord, my heart is so pure. I say, your heart's so pure. But I want the Lord to purge out all the leaven that is in me. Whatever it is. Religious leaven. My own concept. My flesh. Everything that is in my heart. Lord, purge it out. I don't want the junk in my heart. My heart is not a garbage can. What about your heart? Is your heart a garbage? Garbage can. Trash can. I don't want my heart to be a trash can. How about yours? Right. I don't know about your heart. I'm not a cardiologist. Only the Lord. Psalm 139, He has the X-ray vision. He knows your heart. And He knows your thought from afar off. Miles away, He already knows what you're thinking before He met you. But I want the Lord to purge away my leaven. Especially before He comes. I cannot wait until you purge out your leaven, then I purge out mine. So that we can be one. Mo, are you purging your leaven?
I'm trying.
You're trying.
Working on it,
but I'm not. So you shouldn't do it. You should wait until I do it. Then we'll do it together. Then we are really one.
Bad idea.
You mean to say you don't care for our oneness?
Well, yes.
You see, he's already shaky, right?
That's not oneness.
That's not oneness. You're right. You should tell me to my face. John, you're wrong. Whether you want to purge out your leaven or not, that's your business. But I want to purge out my leaven. That's my business. Right? Are you going to wait till I purge my leaven, then you will purge out yours? No. I want to purge out my leaven. Whether you want to do it or not, it's your choice. That doesn't mean that I'm not one with you. But I'm only one with you when this oneness is connected to the head, which is Christ. Otherwise, it's going to be a strange kind of oneness. And remember, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So if you don't purge it out, that's why you need to purge out the leaven 7 days. Because if you just purge it a little bit and wait till next week, that little leaven that's left is going to grow. Right. It's going to grow. And then next week you'll have more leaven to take care of. And it's not going to stay just a little bit. You know, the problem is not only that you're going to leaven the church. The problem is it's going to leaven your whole being. It's going to leaven your thinking. It's going to leaven your whole being, your outlook. Yeah. And it will grow within you. And at the end, you will suffer loss. Yeah. And then you're going to influence others. This is the principle of leaven, it will never stop growing. It will never stop growing. So Paul says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. May the Lord open our eyes so we learn to keep this wonderful feast of unleavened bread, or to keep the feast of purging out the leaven. And both of these work together. Sorry. Right. This is serious business. Any baker will know. Right. Now, let's come back to A. We go back, going backwards from B to A. Right? A. Jesus Christ, the true bread which came down from heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. Do you want to eat it? Well, wait for me. Wait for me.
Why don't you hurry up?
Why don't I hurry up? I don't want to. So, slow down. Why don't you slow down? Because you're hungry. Even if you're hungry to death, you should wait for Grandpa. Why would you say you are an unreasonable grandpa? You call me Grand Popcorn. Grand Pop. No. No. Right. I am the true bread which came down from heaven. He who eats me. What does it mean, he who eats me? That means anyone, at any time. Now, how many people wanted to eat him? In John chapter 6. How many people wanted to eat him? Many? A thousand? 100? 50? 40? 30? 20? No, nobody wants to eat him, so let's not eat the Lord Jesus. Don't eat the Lord Jesus because nobody wants to eat him. At the end, only 12. Minus one. Minus one. So, the Lord asked the 12, why don't you also go? Everybody's gone. So you might as well go with them. Be one with them. Why are you not one with them? What would you say? Peter told the Lord, Lord, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. You go where the life is. Stick with the Lord Jesus. Don't stick with anybody else. You stay with him and eat him. Right? Have you not read John 6? All of these wonderful words there, you should read it again and again. Whosoever, the Lord says, whosoever, meaning to say anytime, anywhere. You take care of eating me, the Lord said. You eat me. Number one, he is the incarnated word. The Lord is the living word, the word of God. Even the feast is the Lord. Don't say no more feast. No, you should learn to say yes, the feast, but not the physical bread that you bake in a bakery. No, this is a heavenly bakery. Make baked by God, the bread from heaven, that you eat and live by Him and live because of Him. You eat Him. We are not talking about just eating anything. And now He is the incarnated Word. So He is the reality of this Word of the feast. Oops. I'm excited about the bread. You know, when I come to the Word, what do? I eat Jesus. Because Jesus is the incarnated Word of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelled amongst us. And His name is called the Word of God. Do you know the Word of God is Jesus? That's His name. How do you know the Word of God is Jesus? It is written. In Revelation chapter 19, His name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was doctrines and teachings. I didn't read that right? And the Word was God. In Him was life, and the life was the light. Tell me the truth. Did you see some light in the feasts in these days?
Amen.
Really?
Yes.
Or just some doctrines? The Word of God is food for us. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by a few words, only in the New Testament, and only whatever you like to eat. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by
every word.
What?
Every word.
Except Leviticus.
No.
Except the feasts.
No.
No, not every word.
Every word.
The Lord doesn't mean that.
How do you know?
It is my concept. Wrong concept. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And every scripture, Paul says, is God's breath. How many words is God's breath?
Every.
You believe that? Or is it just my imagination? Or just your imagination? Are you sure? Positive. Okay. That's very good. Amen. Such a wonderful word today. If you come to the Word and you don't touch the Lord Jesus, you're getting nothing. You're getting zero. But if you come to the Word and you touch the Lord Jesus as life, you get light. And you begin to see and you're happy. You say, Amen, Lord. I want to do it. Not I want to know it. I want to do it. Be a doer of the Word. Right? After seeing the feast, what do you want to do? Keep it. Enjoy it. Right? You want to really, wow, let's keep it and eat this wonderful unleavened bread from heaven and purge out all the leaven, whatever kind it is. And of course, if you go to the meal offering, you can really see this fine and perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus, who is the incarnated Word, must be without leaven. Don't add anything in it and don't take away anything from it. People like to add and people like to subtract. Addition and subtraction. That's what everybody learned from grade one. But in the Word, no addition and no subtraction. Don't do mass work with the Word of God. Okay? You sure? Don't do arithmetic with God's Word. It is written where? Right. Yes. Exactly. Right. So, don't try to be a scientist or a mathematician when you come to the Word of God. No, you just follow the Word of God without leaven, without honey, full of grace and reality. Truth is reality. Full of spirit and the resurrection life. And so well pleasing to the Father. My, this is a wonderful Word of God. Right? I don't know of any way to read the Bible. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a Bible teacher. I'm nothing. But I want to please the Father. I really want to please the Father. I may not please you. I'm sorry. But I want to please my Father. When the Lord Jesus came to this earth, He didn't come to please man. Paul said, if I still try to please man, then I'm not a servant of Christ. So what do you want to do? You want to please man or you want to please God? But you have to wait for me to please God. No? You sure? No? Yes? No? You sure? That's very good. Right? This is the bread which came down from heaven and as food for us to eat. Wow. That we may live by Him and because of Him. That we will no longer hunger and thirst. That we will not die but have eternal life. Don't think you will not die spiritually. Where it is written that, oh, the church there has a name that it's alive but it's dead. Which church is that? Sardis. Right. So if we stop eating, what's going to happen to you if you stop eating? You will die. Even spiritually, you will die. And then that we will abide in Him and He in us. This is what the Lord really said. If you eat Him, you will abide in Him and He will abide in you. This is really, really wonderful. Time is up. Then see, eating the bitter herbs. Ah, I love the bitter herbs. You know, the Word of God is really medicine to you. It heals you. Sweet may be in your tongue sometimes, not all the times, but bitter, definitely bitter in your stomach because it's working. If the Word of God doesn't work in you, it's no good. If it's just letter and knowledge, no wonder people say, that's just knowledge what you're talking about, offerings. That's knowledge. I'm not talking about knowledge. I'm talking about Christ. Right? Jasmine, what am I talking about? Christ. I'm talking about Christ as the reality of all of these offerings. And if you eat it, You will not only learn to live by Christ, and you will not only purge out the leaven, but you will be healed of all your religious concepts and sicknesses and all of your internal problems, whatever problems you have, indigestion or whatever spiritual indigestion, toxification, and you'll be detoxed and you'll be... Because it is a bitter herbs. It's medicine. It makes you spiritually healthy. I have heard from so many already testifying by learning and preparing the offering daily to experience Christ. It became their salvation. They got healed. Really. Be it in the Far East or elsewhere, you can hear testimonies that many who exercise to prepare these offerings to offer up to the Father, they really experience salvation and change in their life. Of course it will, because you're learning to live Christ and experience Christ. Why should that harm anybody? You think living Christ will cause division? You think experiencing Christ will cause division? If you experience Christ, brother, will it make you proud? Oh, I experience this wonderful Christ, and you have nothing, you know. But I am living Christ. Have you ever heard people living Christ like that? Huh? Have you seen somebody living Christ like that? Are you like that? Tell me, who is like that? Are you like that, Angie? I hope not. How can a person who lives Christ will be proud? You think if I have an offering to offer up to the Father, I'm proud? You're so proud because you think you have something to offer up to the Father. Who would say such a word? Tell me. Right. Anyway. May the Lord have mercy on us. And may the Lord really help us to do it with a humble spirit. With sincerity and truth. To offer up spiritual sacrifice purely to satisfy God and nothing else. Until the Father tells you, stop, I don't want it anymore, then you can stop. Okay? Praise the Lord. Yeah.